praise the Lord.
Atamandike.
You are enjoying the day.
Amen. Enjoy a siku.
I pray you do.
Amen.
I enjoy the day too. Because I am in a good family. Believers who want to increase their faith and be able to serve the Lord as He commands. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You may all be seated. Well, we have been looking at a certain scripture. And I hope that you have caught the meaning behind the word. The Bible is a plain book. But it needs to be understood in a spiritual way. Even if natural things are explained, many times the natural things have a spiritual reason. So it can help us to stay focused. And we have been on a little title. He sent them saviors. And when Jesus is looking at the former days, all the way back to Moses and up to his own day, he explained to the Pharisees as well as the disciples that the ones that were sent, they were actually saviors because they saved the people from their enemies. And as long as the saviors were active, the nation, in a way, had peace. They could be still a war, but Israel wasn't afraid anymore because they had men who had spoken to the Lord, and the Lord had told them, as long as you stay with me, I will make you prosper, and the enemies will never overtake you. Hey, that's a good way to live. But he told that back in the days of Moses. And I mentioned about blessings and cursings. So here on this trip, I mentioned Deuteronomy chapter 28. And from verse 8 to, now from 1 to 14, there were blessings. But then from verse 15, here comes the quite opposite. And the Lord is sending out that warning so that the people would understand, if you don't walk with me, you're walking yourself into big trouble. And when we think about the 400 years that the book of Judges and also 1 Samuel, before there was a king, 400 years. How many of those years did actually Israel live in peace with God?
Muzaka is 400. Nizaka zingati zamene Israel inangara mumtendere na Mulungu.
That's something to think about. 120 years.
400 years wanangara mocha beza 120 years.
Out of 400 years, they left God in 280
years.
They didn't care about God. So that brought a lot of problems in Israel. Then you come to the time of the kings. Well, you had David. 40 years. Then you had Solomon. He also ruled for around 40 years. And then from then on, it started going downhill. Israel was divided in two fractions. The two tribes and the 10 tribes. And the 10 tribes, they really never served God politely. So for the next 300 years, the 10 tribes, God had to do something. That's why the 10 tribes, in the year 721, and down to the year 700, Israel, the 10 tribes were led in captivity. And it was the Syrian army that took them. My Lord. And Israel, the 10 tribes, never came back. Isn't that something? When you read the book of Ezekiel, I'm giving you some numbers, but I'm not a mathematician. But in Ezekiel chapter 4, the Lord speaks to Ezekiel, and he said, make yourself a brick. Put it on the dust on the ground, because the brick will represent Israel and Jerusalem. And when you see that brick, I want you to lay down on your side. Well, you know how to lay down on your side on the dust. And I want you to lay there 390 days. I don't think that Ezekiel was laying down 24 hours, but a representation of a day. And he said,
Israel
have failed to live for me for 390 days. That was the 10 tribes. And I will make the days over 2 years. So I'm going to push them out. Spread them all over the world. And they are not going to come back in 390 years. And he said, but if they fail to worship me, and when they're brought out in and they are still stubborn, I will add to the captivity 7 times. So how much is 390 times 7?
So manje muchite multiply 390 times 7.
Hey, then you're getting up to our day.
Manje apo chizakule tani kufika mundawi yatu.
Amen. Are you catching the picture?
Machiona chameni masulira.
2,700 years.
Zaka 2,700 years.
If you don't bow down and worship me.
Ngati simuza gwada na kupembeza Mulungu.
And Israel did not.
Israel was seen a cheat echo.
They kept being stubborn.
Wanapitiliza kususa.
So from 700 AD, no BC, excuse me,
kutoka zaka hizo 700 Kristo akalipobadwa,
and 2,700 years up the road,
na kubwera manje zaka 2,700 kamene Yesu anabwera na kumwalira.
You're coming to your and my day.
Chikule tani mundawe yako.
And you remember what happened? Israel got their land back. That was 1948. And I look upon the battle to get Israel on the map. That basically belongs to the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Because God also said in Ezekiel chapter
4
that if Judah and Benjamin is stubborn, I will also lay days to them. And if they don't worship me, I will multiply that also. Right? So here, God is sending out a warning. And then, the 10 tribes, they were spread all over the world. And when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, and the Lord said, if you don't walk with me, I'll make it so that during daytime, you wish it was night. And during nighttime, you would wish it was day. You would be so perplexed and out of it that you'll say there's no hope. But he said, but if you at the utter end of it, if you surrender, I will hear and I will bring you back. Even after 2,700 years, I will remember my covenant. And I shall bring you. I'll fish you out of the enemy's land. Or I will hunt you out. Right? Hunters, they use guns, right? Yeah. And now,
manje,
the 10 tribes are back in the land. Hey, we are getting close.
Amen.
The Lord is close.
Yeah.
Amen. So even a scripture written 700 years before Christ, God is exactly precise. He keeps his promise. And we are about to see the fulfillment of all things.
Amen.
It's just not that we are just evangelizing and doing our best for the Lord. But we are also on God's timetable. Remember what Jesus said? That when you see the fig tree blooming, because in the springtime, trees normally bloom. They shoot buds because there's going to be fruits in the fall. Yeah. That's what he said. And he said then, if you see that, then you know that time is close. And when you look at Israel today, oh yeah, they have a lot of problems. And the world is getting more and more against them. I read in the news today or yesterday that Canada, they are passing a law. You cannot quote the Bible anymore publicly. My Lord. So if the Bible is forbidden, of course I know the reason. Because the Bible speaks about homosexuality. So immorality is something that people lean more and more towards. A looser lifestyle. They don't know if they are boys and girls anymore. Today I'm a girl. Next day I'm a boy. Right?
Mm.
Hey, what is the sense in all that? Well, I believe it's the devil's attack. Because the devil has a very short time left. So he have to try everything to get rid of God's word. Well, he trapped Eve in the Garden of Eden. Twisting the word a little. You shall surely die. And the devil, he inspired the serpent. You shall not surely die. Just put in one word. So it meant the opposite.
Amen.
You know what that cost? Your and my mortality. And the law, the world had to live under that law since the Garden of Eden. But it's going to change. The Lord's going to restore it back. Alright?
Amen.
So here, we see there is a timetable. I know that Brother Branham, he was also a very good student of the Word of God. And he looked also at a timetable. And he found out that from Abraham to Jesus Christ, it was approximately
1954 years.
Right? So he took a measuring rod.
1955 years.
Abraham to Christ. And then he went like this. From Christ and up.
1977.
Aha. We may have the millennium. By 1977.
1977.
My first trip to America was in
1977.
I came to Brother Jackson's church. He had a convention there. And there were brothers in the Branham ranks. I saw them, they came up to Brother Jackson. And they said, "Now what do you think, Brother Jackson? Do you believe in 1977? The coming of the Lord, you know." And he said, "I believe that 77 is a year, but not the year you think about. Because if it is going to usher in the millennium, right, then you have the Ezekiel war, Ezekiel chapter 38 and
39.
Hey, there's going to be a war where Gog will go into
Israel.
But the Lord is going to protect
Israel.
And then they are going to clean the land after Gog had failed. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 39 that cleansing process will take 7 years. Alright?
Amen.
So if we are now in 77,
that is exactly 1977,
and you usher in the millennium,
mm-hmm.
What about the Gog War? It have to come before the millennium. So this doesn't fit. So don't make it the coming of the Lord. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And of course, 77 came and went. There was a precious sister in the Lord. She's still alive. But that little group was very much in found of Brother Branham's 77. So they thought the Lord would come in
77.
And she went to church on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Expecting that by 12 o'clock, the Lord would come. But there were other people. They had heard the rumors. So they went outside the church and was waiting to see if they came out of church without being raptured. Hey, you understand me? Remember, when people put up years, and they almost say, "Thus said the Lord." When those things don't happen, something happened to the ones that were of a simple mind. I thought this was true. Right? Hey, 2 o'clock in the morning, January the 1st,
1978.
Here comes a group of believers out the door of the church. Very humbled. It didn't work. It wasn't true. Right? Yes. I met a Jehovah Witness just after I got saved. And I was a truck driver. And I was hauling oil, fuel oil, to private homes. And I was filling up a tank that a customer had in the ground. And he was a Jehovah Witness. And he came out to me and he said, "You believe in the Lord?" I said, "I sure do. I am a Christian." Oh, he said, "I'm a Jehovah Witness. And I believe the Lord is coming now." Oh yeah, that's wonderful. I believe he's coming too. Yeah, but he's coming in 74. I said, "Are you sure?" Yes! That is what the Jehovah Witness organization is teaching now. But I said, "Sir, what if you're here in 1975? What happens then?" And said, "Well, then I'm not a Jehovah Witness anymore, because they lied to me." In 1975, I came back to the house and filled more oil. He was still there, but he was very quiet. He didn't say anymore. You see, people try to be very professional and spiritual, but it has nothing to do with scriptural understanding. So therefore, don't look for years. It is a big failure, a mistake to do that part. In Faith Assembly in the U.S., they tried to usher in the millennium. Call it the third day.
Yeah.
And they're still thinking about that. But it caused so much turmoil, and it doesn't fit the scriptures. Hey, 2 days, the Gentile church age. The third day, the millennium. Do you think you are in the millennium now? Hey, don't try to put your hand in a lion's mouth. You might not have a hand after. Because the Lord tell me, when the lion lives in the millennium, he will eat grass.
Amen.
As the bull, the ox, the cow. Right?
Amen.
So wait till you see the lion starts eating grass. Then you might be on the safe side. Right?
Amen.
Yeah. But remember, all of it is picked out from the Bible. Yeah. They try to find things and make it so obvious that even if it doesn't make sense, their mind clicks and they start believing in it anyway. All right? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. And read a little portion here. In chapter 4. Because here it says, "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, that are left unto the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. Well, that tells us when the catching away comes, or the word rapture, then everyone that have part in the first resurrection and are part of the bride of Christ, they will come out of the dead will come out of the grave, and the living shall be changed. How is a change going to be? Hey, that's going to be you. You will become young again.
Amen.
So if you are 70 now, you might be ending up being 20 years old. Or 20 or 25, whatever.
Maybe 20 or 25.
In your best age. So, if there was a change, right now, I would suddenly be young again. And you would be young again too. If you are 20 years old, I'm sorry for you. You'll just stay the same. Right? Hey, the bride of Christ shall change. Right?
Amen.
Okay, so the dead in Christ and the living in Christ is ready for a change.
Now. Amen.
Alright?
Amen.
So if that doesn't happen, we're still in the grace age. Right?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Don't try to push this picture. Because you cannot change yourself. There's only one who can do that. Right?
Amen.
Because in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend out from heaven with a shout. All right.
Amen.
The Lord himself shall come out of heaven. Has that happened? Think about it. He's going to come with a shout. Remember, in the former services, we put up a label here that God sent them saviors.
Amen.
And I have a question. Have God stopped sending saviors? That's something to think about. Remember now, you know what a savior is.
Right?
Jesus Christ,
yes, Christ
is the savior of the whole world. He paid the price. No one takes his place. But God needs to have spiritual people on earth. So therefore, he sends a rescue team. Or saviors. Hey, think about Paul the apostle. Think about the 12 apostles. Without them, no one would have believed the gospel. They were sent out by God to save the people. They became saviors.
Praise the Lord.
Right?
Amen.
They did not come in instead of Jesus Christ. But since I used the terminology, I want us to think in a positive way. Here in this hour,
2026,
are there anyone that are sent by God? Hey, there were two men standing here. What was their purpose? To pray for a certain area. Some of them have visions. They feel the Lord is putting upon them a responsibility. And they automatically become saviors in their own area. Right? I'm not looking for a big savior in the United States or other places on earth. But God will anoint people that are dedicated to Him. And they will present the gospel. And the people will hear it and believe.
Amen.
Remember, you cannot really convince people. You can talk them into understanding a certain thought. But it takes the Lord.
Amen.
I remember Paul was preaching. And then he saw a man that had faith to believe. And he was a crippled fellow. And Paul looked down at him. And he says, I see that you have faith. Stand on your feet.
Praise the Lord.
And the man had never stood in his life. But the power of God came upon him. And he walked up. And he started running around. And a lot of the Gentiles, they had never seen a miracle. So they called the priest of a strange religion. And said, come, let us sacrifice. Because those two men, they are gods. Right? Well, they were messengers from God. Yes. They were miniature gods. But not the way people think. Right? I just want you to be a little familiar with the picture. Because to get out of here, it will take an act of God.
Yeah.
And God's going to make you believers.
Amen.
By experience. Right? That's very important. Okay. So here, I read a little scripture that the Lord shall descend from heaven, and we believe that God sent a prophet for this end time. William Branham was standing baptizing people like you did out there today. Right?
Amen.
And then there was a stir in the river. And the brother looked up. And he heard a voice. Not many people heard that voice. And many people Many people even deny there was a voice. But Brother Branham heard it.
Praise the Lord.
And the voice said, as John the Baptist was a forerunner for my first coming, then this, your message, shall be a forerunner for my second coming. Alright.
Amen. Praise the
Lord.
So
therefore, when the Lord says that He's going to come down with a shout, then
William Branham
must be a representation of that shout.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You will not be able to convince the denominational church world that something like that even happened. They will deny it. Remember, there's a lot of nice Baptist, Pentecostal people, Presbyterian and other organizations. Right? As long as you stay on Jesus, He did a lot of good things. And they will all say amen. But the day you say, the Lord is closing down the church age, because there is a shout, and the shout have sounded.
Amen.
I said, what kind of guy are you? We know nothing about these things. No, easily. Because you don't want to hear about it. But the Lord sent a voice, and there is a messenger for this age. And that shout happened in
1933. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Okay. You believe it. Because you're here. But there are multitudes of Christians that will say, no. No way. You're crazy. The first time I heard about the message, I went home, I prayed and fasted, and I studied the Word of God, because I heard about William Branham, and what he preached, what he taught, I say, my Lord, this fits the scriptures. Remember, everything need to fit the scriptures.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
You cannot take a page of the Bible and tear it out, because that doesn't seem like it fits anymore. So I'll just erase that page. You can't do that. Because God is the one who allowed the people to take the 66 books and make it a testimony that God will improve.
Yeah.
Amen.
All
right.
Amen.
So where are we today? Well, the Bible says there is a shout. Right? And then after the comma, it says, and a voice of an archangel. That voice of an archangel has not sounded yet. And I ran into a problem, because I heard a brother who testified of William Branham, and that he was the sound of that message. But then William Branham died in
1965.
And after his death, the brother got shocked. Because he thought William Branham would lead the bride in the rapture. Right? That is why William Branham said it like this. John the Baptist was a foreigner. But he didn't say, William Branham, you are the foreigner. He said, your message will be a foreigner. Because God knew that time would elapse to the fact that many strong believers in Brother Branham's ministry would finally start doubting. Because now it's too many years.
That's right.
So I met the brother 10 years after Brother Branham passed away.
After Zaka 10, Branham.
So that was 1975.
It was 1975.
And he told me, Brother Rolf,
and I know Zambari Rolf,
I don't believe anymore in the prophet. I said, what? You don't believe it?
So believe I.
You saw him. You were there the last 3 years of his ministry. And now you doubt the whole thing? Yeah, it's too many years now. I said, my Lord, what is this? And I went home. I said, Lord, there must be a good answer. A scriptural answer. So on my knees, the Lord spoke. And he said, read the whole story of Elijah. And that is from 1 Kings chapter
17.
And I read up to 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 28. And I got my answer.
Amen.
The Lord said, the original Elijah, he will leave the scene before the job is done. Because what was the purpose of the Elijah ministry? It was to anoint or announce the coming of the Lord. That is what John the Baptist did. But then also, to turn the hearts of the people back to God. Right?
Amen.
So that the people would be turned back to God. And get rid of Jezebel's religion. So
Jezebel
would have no more saying in church. Right? And you can look around today. Is the people's heart turned back to God? Is Jezebel dead? Or is she very much alive still? Hey, all these things is bound to be fulfilled.
Amen, that's right.
And then I saw in the Bible that when God anointed Elijah, In the last part of his ministry, then the Lord spoke clearly, I want you to do three things. You go out, you go up to Damascus, and you seek out Hazael. Because he would be the king of Syria. He wasn't king yet. But when the prophet came up there, he told Hazael, I see you as the king of Syria. And then, you go and find Jehu, and you make him king of Israel. And then finally, you go find Elisha, and he will be a prophet in your place. And then the Lord said, go. Come, let's go. Right?
Amen.
Yeah. And he started his journey, and the first thing he meets is Elisha. And when he sees him, he throw his mantle over him. And Elisha understands it's a calling to follow the prophet. And he prepared and started following him. And they walked together for a few years.
Yeah.
Not many years, but enough. Then the Lord took Elijah. And the two things that Elijah was told to do, he didn't do it. He left it in the hands of Elisha. Right?
Amen, that's true.
So then, after Elijah was gone, Elisha travels up and down
Israel
for about 10 to 14 years. Then finally, he comes up to Damascus. And when he comes up there, the king, Ben-Hadad, he said to his captain, Hazael, I want you to go and ask the prophet for me. Am I going to live or die? So Hazael took off. He met the prophet. And when Elisha sees Hazael, he starts crying. He said, why do you cry? I see all the evil you're going to do against
Israel.
And he tells what the man having his mind to do. And Hazael said, you think I'm crazy? Am I a dog to do that? Well, the Lord showed me. You're going to take the throne. And then, he went back to Ben-Hadad. He found a pillow. And he choked him. So Ben-Hadad was dead. And Hazael took the crown. And he got to be an enemy of
Israel.
Right? That was the second thing. After 14 years. Right? Then he goes down to the river of Jordan. And he finds a prophetic school there. And he goes in that school. Hey, there were more than 50 students. They were trained to be prophets. But he seeks out one of the children of the prophets. And he goes to him. And he takes a bottle of oil. And he puts it in his hand. He said, I want you to go up and seek out Jehu, the captain of Israel. And then anoint him king over Israel. So the young man takes the oil, goes up in the hills, he finds Jehu, take him secretly in a room, and he pour oil over his head, and anoint him king over Israel. So back in those days, it took three different generations of men to do the job. God told the original man, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do it all. He only did his part. And then Elisha did the next one. And the young prophet took the third stage. And that is what the Lord showed me in 1975. And then 76, 7, 8, 9, 10. Up through the years, I started seeing people get more and more uncomfortable. But because I haven't preached on what I saw, I was just confident. God takes care of the timing.
Amen.
He showed me this. I don't need to worry anymore. If it takes another 10 years, that's not my business. That's his. He is in control over the time.
Amen.
And then in
1986,
11 years after I got to see the real three stages, I took the message with me to America again. Because I said, I will preach it there. And if they send me home, I'll be pleased to go home. Right? Because this is scripture.
Amen.
So in Faith Assembly, in Brother Jackson's church, I preached the message, the three stages of the Elijah ministry. And Brother Jackson, when he heard that, he got very excited, positive. And he said to the church, if you can touch your nose with your index finger, can you try to do that? Huh? Are you able to do that? Is that easy? Right? Shouldn't be very difficult. He said, if you touch your nose with your index finger, then you'll understand how easy this message is to be understood. And we traveled a lot of times together. So whenever we came to a place, and Brother Jackson said, Brother Stroman, why don't you preach that three stages? Preach that three stages. For several years, He said, preach it again. Because this is the answer. Why Brother Branham could die in 65 and the message is still going on.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah, but hey, that is not Brother Branham's message, you might say. Well, what is Brother Branham's message? It is to announce the coming of the Lord. And to be a voice to lower the mountains, to level up the valleys. That was John the Baptist's message. And make a straight way. That means an understandable, simple way so that everyone can understand. Hey, Brother Branham was a simple man. He did not have a very high education. He didn't need that because he was taught by the Lord. Speak this, say this. Talk on the seven church ages. Then the seven seals. And on and on in different topics. The brother laid his heart out to help the common simple people to grasp the truth.
Yeah.
So then, I said all that to explain 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Right? When it says here, with a shout, the word shout, when did the shout stop? Some might say, oh, when Brother Branham died, then the shout must have stopped. But I will have to say, no. Hey, Brother Branham, he shouted out. But when he passed away, there was another group of people, a younger generation, who preached the same gospel. Now they were the shout. And they shouted out like Brother Branham did. Remember, no. Brother Branham had more gifts in operation than many people ever will have. But it's not about how many gifts in operation in your life. But it if you are true in your calling. So you actually shout out what the Spirit inspires you to do.
Praise the Lord.
And when I saw the progress, I came to this understanding. Brother Branham was the original. And they that followed him. Remember, there were many brothers who saw the prophet in a right way. Brother Jackson was one of them. Yeah. And when he heard Brother Branham, he preached the same message. But some people said, no. He don't quote Brother Branham enough. You know what Brother Jackson said to me one day? When I first met him, he said, if we are going to work together, you have to promise me one thing. Don't you ever preach me.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Right? So here's a man with a wonderful message. You probably read the contender. Right? There's more than 100 copies. That man preached his heart out to the people. He knew that the Branham people didn't like him. He was called an unclean bird. Yeah. Not much in favor. But he didn't care. Because he saw the message. He had a revelation. So when he was starting to preach, then he had a dream. And he met Brother Branham in the dream. And Brother Branham said to him, I want you to go preach for me. And Brother Jackson said, no, sir. They will not believe me. And Brother Branham said, I want you to go preach for me. He repeated it again. And Brother Jackson said, no, sir. They will not believe it. And then Brother Branham was more stern. And he said, I want you to go preach for me. And he took up a little notebook. And he wrote down 7 messages that he felt was important to understand the message of the hour. And he showed Brother Branham. And he looks at it. And he smiles. He said, go preach for me. Right? So he gave him clearance. But this was not copies of Brother Branham's messages. But it was how to understand the message. By revelation.
Amen.
I feel I'm going to make a little turn here now. Because you are a group of believers. Right? When I came to the Lord, then the Lord said to me, I want to send you down to another place. And I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And I was shocked. Because I prayed about that. And here I hear a voice. You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I ran down to the place. And there was a church. And the congregation was already standing there. So they had already had the preaching. And I came in the back door. I said to the Lord, Lord, I came as fast as I could. So what's going to happen now? I didn't need to wait long. And the preacher up front, he looks down and says, is there anyone here that need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? That was the first thing I said after I came in. So of course I said, yes, me. And they say, oh, you've got to come up here. So I stood before them. And they asked me, are you baptized? I said, baptized? Well, I was sprinkled as a bitty baby. Because the church I went to, they never talked about baptism. And I had only been Christian a few months. But I had heard the voice of the Lord. You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. So then they explained to me, you need to be baptized by immersed. Dipped under. Because baptism is a funeral. In spiritual terminology. I said, is that in the Bible? And of course they said, yes it is. I said, I believe everything that's in the Bible. But in my thought, I said, I'm going to go home and check it out. But they laid hands upon me. And as soon as they did, I was standing there. And I said, Lord, I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, right there, I was convinced. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And you might say, it's never that easy. Because people have been Pentecostal. And sometimes they have to roll on the floor. There must be some commotion. Then we might believe it. That you have the Holy Spirit. That's why I say what I say tonight. Is everybody here filled with the Holy Ghost? Hey, you think about it now. Right? I was standing there. I was so thankful to the Lord. Because he told me, go there and you shall be filled. Alright.
Amen.
Then they kept praying. And praying. And praying. And they said, let it out. But since I'm not Pentecostal, I didn't know what let out was. So to me I said, what is let out? Right? So I stood there, filled with the Holy Ghost, but not knowing what they are doing. Because once you receive, what is it to receive? Right? Hey, I have a cell phone here. I'm not giving it to you. But as a token. Can you come and take it? Right? Hey, what is he doing now? He's receiving. Right? No, it is in his hands. You can keep it for a while. Right?
Amen.
I gave. He received. And once it is his, then it is his property.
Amen.
Receive you the Holy Spirit. Right? And if you can say in your heart, in honesty, I receive the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you then have the Holy Spirit? Think about it. Right? So after a while, they got very unresty. And they say, can't you at least pray? And I said, okay, I can pray. And I lifted my voice. And I started praying. But I said, Father, I'm so happy that I have received the Holy Spirit. Right?
Amen.
Because I did, I received it. Yeah. Something that they who prayed for you They wanted manifestations. But I didn't know anything about manifestations. So therefore, when I started thanking the Lord, the joy of salvation came. And it wasn't long, and I started speaking in tongues. And at that time, I didn't know even what tongues was. Because I hadn't been in a Pentecostal church. But since I did, then, finally. He finally got it. Right? Then, I started traveling in the ministry. After a while. And I took my experience. And I said to the people, if there's anyone here that need the Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what happened? People started coming up front. They stood there. And we just did like this, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. Fill him with the Holy Spirit. That was simple. And we let go. And they received it. They started getting happy, praising the Lord. They started speaking in tongues. I never told them to do that. But I leave that up to the Lord. Right?
Amen.
So here, one after the other started receiving the Holy Spirit. But some of the older Pentecostal people, they said, this is too easy. You hardly touch them. And then they're already filled. My, I don't understand. And I was in one service.
And I said,
is there anyone here that need the Holy Spirit? And there was an old sister. I was about 24 years old at that time. And here comes an 80-year-old lady. And she said, I don't have the Holy Spirit. But I said, I thought you were Sister Pentecost. She has been in Pentecostal church for 50 years. And you tell me you don't have the Holy Ghost. How can it be? You know why? Because they tell you, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. That was her problem. She said, I have never spoken in tongues. So I never believed I had the Holy Spirit. I said, that's not in the Bible. You received the Holy Spirit and you let God do the work. He is the inspirational factor. Hey, have you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Is everyone an apostle? Is anyone a prophet? Does everyone speak in tongues? It's a question mark. Right?
That's right.
So therefore, to be filled with the Holy Ghost has nothing in itself to do with the gifts.
Amen.
It is that you open up. So the gifts can come into operation. That you never know what gift will come. So therefore, you sit open as an open book. And you say, Lord, whatever you want through me, I'm here, I'm willing. Come. Inspire my life.
Amen.
Then you are in the right position to get it.
Praise the Lord.
So, the old lady, she knelt by the first bench, and I knelt down beside her, and I say, sister, you've been fighting for 50 years to get the Holy Ghost. No, let us not fight anymore. Now, we're gonna receive it. She looks at me. Is it that simple? Well, how difficult do you want it? So now, you do like they did in Acts chapter 19. She was baptized. Right? So now, receive the Holy Spirit. And you know she said it. Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And she was on her knees maybe a minute, and then suddenly,
oh!
And she started rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen.
After 50 years.
After 50.
Hey, that's a shameful thing. Not of the sister, but of the preachers who are telling stuff that are man-made traditions.
Amen.
If you haven't rolled on the floor for a few minutes, then you don't have it. No, when you receive it, you have it. Right?
Amen.
Hey, do you understand me tonight?
Yes.
Remember now, there is not even one soul here tonight that needs to leave this place without having the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You say, because you said it, brother? No. Because the Bible says it. Receive it. Receive
it.
In the name of Jesus Christ. And it is yours.
Amen.
And you might say, but what if nothing happens? Well, that's no trouble. God just doesn't have need for you yet.
Hey,
he will express himself through your life whenever it is needed.
Amen.
So don't think about what you don't do, but think about what you have received.
Praise the Lord.
Anyone comes and says, oh, you have the Holy Ghost? Oh, have you spoken in tongues? And you will, what can I say? That's not the initial evidence. That is false. You receive it, and it is yours. The expression will come in another fashion.
Amen. Right? Amen. Amen.
Hey, Do you really understand me tonight?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That lady, she stirred the whole congregation. Because she started believing she had the Holy Spirit. And you know what they did? The old 10 Pentecostals, they called the head office. We have a problem. This Mr. Stroman. He is giving out the Holy Spirit too easy.
Amen.
I cannot give the Holy Spirit to any person. It is God who fills you with the Holy Spirit. You receive. I'm just a tool that can tell you how it works. And if you dare to believe it, then it will be yours. And you can enjoy it rest of your life. You don't need to walk around for 50 years and say, I don't think I have it. Hey, that's a sad Christian life. So the next day, we had a meeting in another town. And I was preaching again. And I saw one of the head deacons from the head office coming in the door. My, that's the head deacon. My, we got some important people here. Wonderful. But I didn't know that he came to check me out. Yeah, because he got a report. Brother Stroman makes it too easy on people. So when the end of the service came, I say, anyone in need of prayer? Anyone need the Holy Spirit? And three sisters came up front. He said, we need the Holy Spirit. I said, okay. So I explained the scriptures. So if you receive it now, it's yours. So I laid hand on the first one and say, receive you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? I'm not the giver. I'm just telling her to receive. And she stood there for just a few minutes. And she started speaking in tongues. Hey, I never told her to. But of course, I will not forbid her. So she was very happy. Then the second one came. And I said, you saw the sister? You can receive it the same way. And she did. And she started speaking in tongues. And the third one. Same thing. So before long, three people were rejoicing and speaking in another language, and the head deacon, is that possible? Hey, he has been through the grind mill. Right? You have a tough way to get the Holy Spirit. And then after service, he came to me. Brother Stroman, do you know why I am here? I said, no, sir. But it's sure good to see you.
Amen.
He said, I have got a report that they are complaining about you. But he said, What I see today, this is God.
Amen.
I have no business here. He said, God bless you. Go on.
Amen.
And he went home.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I may not have told that one. Because we have told about experiences. It's not that I'm hiding things. But there are so many elements in believing the Lord that if we're going to remember what John said, there's much more I could say. But if I'm going to tell it all, it will take all heaven. All right. He was speaking about Jesus Christ. I'm just a little brother. But even I have a few experiences that have helped me to stay focused. And if someone is in need, I will do my best that you can receive what you desire of the Lord. Hey, that's what I felt came here now. If there's anyone that feel they need the Holy Spirit, they want to receive it, then it is yours. I was standing in Kampala, right? Uganda. And I stood there in a brother's church. And I said, it is so important to have the Holy Spirit. So therefore, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you can stand up. And you know, almost the whole church rose up and stood. And I said, brother, I don't think they understand me. Right? I was speaking English, and they need the Ugandaish language. And I corrected it and said, I'm speaking if you really need to receive the Holy Spirit. And they stood. We want the Holy Spirit. All of you? Yes. All of us. We need, hey, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit, I would want it. Because it's so important. It is part of God's plan of salvation. Repentance, baptism, infilling of the Holy Ghost, it is the seal of God that you have eternal life. Right? Why wouldn't you be zealous? I need the Holy Spirit. Because I want to live eternally. And if my spirit can melt with God's spirit, I'm
going
to be eternal. Right?
Amen.
Do you understand me?
Amen.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
So then I said, well, brothers, sisters, if you want, all want the Holy Spirit, then just receive it right now. Say in your heart, I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'll pray, and you receive. And you know what happened? Suddenly, a sound, hey, the clouds, it was a nice day, sunny. Suddenly there were a cloud. And it got dark outside. And it started hailing. You know a tin roof? When it starts hailing, that would be bara bara
bara.
No one heard me anymore. Right? I could not speak loud enough. It was raining and hailing terribly. And the church, they started praising the Lord. They were just as loud as the hail on the roof. And for about 20 minutes, the Lord was blessing the people. And then when everyone was satisfied, they calmed down and the hail stopped. And I went outside. And there was not a hail drop coming.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
My
Lord.
I said, hey,
that was a manifestation. Hey. We don't need that manifestation. You just need to receive. Even if it is silent around you, God's Spirit is the very same. And the pastor,
Abusa,
he was my interpreter. And he said, Brother Stroman, I have to admit, I have taught my church wrong. Because I told them, if they need the Holy Spirit, you have to pray for about 6 months before you can get it. But I was wrong. You can receive it immediately.
Amen.
So he told the church. He was wrong. And this is the right way. And everyone could go out happy. Having the assurance of the Holy Spirit in their life.
Amen.
Alright?
Amen.
Hey, I'm not talking to you like everyone don't have the Holy Spirit. But if there is one single person, or ten, or how many there might be, and you are not sure, then you can be sure tonight. Do you understand me? Sometimes I ask if you understand, right? I can say, do you believe? Right?
That's right.
It's the same thing. But to me, I have always had this on my heart. If the people need the Holy Spirit, then tell them so they can receive. Because it's the gift of God. And it secures eternal life. And remember now, brothers, if you're a minister, you don't need me around to tell people you need the Holy Spirit. Just a moment, I'll get Brother Stroman to pray for you. Right? That's not it. I am not the giver of the Holy Spirit. God is.
Amen.
So if you, preacher, have understood me, and you never done it this way, I don't tell you to try it. You have to be convinced. You need to know what you're doing. But the Holy Spirit is here for the ones who believe. and will receive. All right.
Amen.
Is there anyone here that needs the Holy Spirit?
All
right, I see hands. Praise the Lord. So I wasn't all wrong then. Okay, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Remember now, you have given a sign that you need the Holy Spirit. And that means you understand what I've been saying.
Yeah.
And since you have that desire, we can all raise, we can all stand up. Right? Because there's nothing more important. I don't need to preach a sermon through. Because it's so important to preach a sermon. No, it's so important that you can leave this place having the Holy Spirit. And you who have the Holy Spirit, you'll pray with us so that the ones that are in need can receive it and be just as secure and happy as yourself. Think about it. A whole church full of the Holy Spirit. Can it be any better?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, brother and sister, you who have this desire, if you can say with me that you want to receive it now, you do that. And believe by all your heart that you're actually receiving. Right?
Amen.
I haven't got my cell phone yet. Right? He still got it. He received. It's his. Okay? All right. All right. Heavenly Father, as we stand humbly before you, see my precious brothers and sisters, how that they have this desire. They need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And now, Lord, come on their behalf. Bless their lives. So when they now say, I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they now say it by heart, you will be there, Lord, and honor them for their desire to walk in unity with you and be filled by thy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Now,
Manje,
you can thank the Lord.
Yamikani Murungu.
Hey, let's all thank the Lord. Let us join in thanksgiving. Lord, you see my brothers and sisters that are now here wanting to have your Spirit. And now they don't just want it anymore. They have received it. Let it now be a state, a concern, an evidence that you have given your Spirit to them. In the name of Jesus
Christ.
Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Touch us now tonight so that we can walk on in victory in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord Joe.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Do you believe it tonight? Hey, remember, it's up to you to receive. And then it is your property. God has sealed you till the day of redemption. All the way to the millennium age. And since you are the bride of Christ, he will put you in his government. And you will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Spend the rest of your days very seriously. Give your heart fully to the Lord so he can use you real good.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember, this message that I have been preaching is something we can keep going on with. But I think that you also know and understand what I have been preaching on. Because in Lusaka, if I lay on the floor and I have fainted, then you say,
Abana Stroman.
We know it now.
We
understand it now. You can rest now. Right?
Yeah. That happened in Lusaka. The only place in the world that I got unconscious. It's never happened on earth. Before or after. Right? Praise the Lord. So then, I'll give the pastor the pulpit again. And you can enjoy his presence.
Amen.
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
God bless you all.